independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Everybody that covers Major League Baseball says the Astros are active, the Astros are engaged, the Astros are talking. Ken Rosenthal, the latest, today on The Athletic, he basically said Astros willing to, he did say this, Astros are willing to trade from their pitching surplus for a club-controlled bat, which is intriguing. A good sign, in my opinion, they feel good about Lance McCullers. He also, Rosenthal says, ideally that player would be a catcher or center fielder under club control beyond this season. That's intriguing. I rather had the club control if I'm giving away one of these starters. In fact, I wouldn't do it. I draw the line. If you're asking for Luis Garcia, Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy, and or Hunter Brown, I'm not trading any of those guys for a rental player.
Me either. It's got to make sense in the short and the long term. It's got to be a guy, because look, you are in a very, very rich position at starting pitcher. And whether you have to deal with JV in the offseason or not, I think we both believe it'll be at a pretty high number, but he'll probably be back. But you have all those young arms, and the only way you're going to part with any one of them, no matter which one it is or which one you prefer, would be that you get someone that helps you not only for this season, but more importantly, and we know that this is how James Click thinks, is going to factor into your long-term plan. Because we already know that because we have a depleted farm system, we already know that they have a good amount of their core for the next 3 to 5 years of staying competitive and competing for a title on their major league roster. So you have to do what other teams don't, and that is you have to at least offer up what you don't have in your farm system. I'm totally okay with offering up one of those guys if the right return comes back on a guy that I'm going to have for the next 3 years. If it's more than that, it's a pipe dream probably. But if it's less than that, I'm going to think long and hard before parting ways with a guy that I have team control on that's been effective for me.
Exactly. Like, I love Josh Bell. I love Trey Mancini. I'm not trading somebody who's been a factor at the major league level who is under multi-years of club control to go out and get a rental. I'm just not doing it. So that's why I love the Rosenthal aspect of the fact that if they trade one of those guys from the surplus, they're going to bring somebody back that's under club control. So it helps out, obviously, the rest of this season, but it helps out in the future as well. Like, let's assume that all those guys are back for a moment. Let's even assume that Justin Verlander is gone, that Justin Verlander does not come back. Let's assume that you find a team for Odorizzi, or that Odorizzi does not accept his player option for next year. So Justin Verlander not on the 2023 Astros under this assumption. Jake Odorizzi not on the Houston Astros next year under this assumption. You still have a five-man rotation, or actually six guys that are capable next year of being starters on this team. Lance McCullers Jr., Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Framber Valdez, Jose Urquidy, Hunter Brown. That's six pitchers, not counting Justin Verlander, who everybody's going to want back, and I imagine Jim Crane's going to effort to bring back.
He's bringing
and then
back.
That's not counting Odorizzi, too, which we hope that Odorizzi's not here. We hope that Odorizzi's traded by August 2nd. Maybe unlikely, but even if he's like, we also hope that he turns down a player option if he is still with this team after August 2nd. But then if he is back, now you're talking about seven starters on next year's team, even if you're not talking about Verlander. So you have a surplus here. You can afford to get rid of one of the club control starting pitchers. I just wouldn't do it for a rental. Now, let's assume for a second that the Astros use one of these starters. And let's cut it down. Like, people are saying Jake Odorizzi. Okay, be serious.
Not happening.
Jake Odorizzi's not realistic. We would trade him for a bucket of curveballs.
Yep.
Not somebody who's under club control that's going to help this team at the catcher or center field position. Christian Javier has trade value. Luis Garcia has trade value. Jose Urquidy has trade value. Let's even eliminate the prospect Hunter Brown here for the moment. Those three starting pitchers, you have to trade one of those to get back a catcher, center fielder, first baseman with club control beyond this season. Which of those three are you picking?
To me, it's a no-brainer. It's Urquidy, because I already know that he's had two issues medically with his shoulder. The fact that he has now become significant in a trade talk is amazing to me, because a year ago I don't think anybody would have touched him, but because of the fact that he's done the things he's done to be relevant again, this is like a younger, more attractive version of Jake Odorizzi, because the fact that he was struggling until he absolutely eliminated a pitch, added and stuck with his other pitches in his arsenal and became relevant again, but because he's been healthy all season and because he's found the pitches that he needs to throw in his arsenal and eliminated those that haven't been effective. He now has value in the market. You don't know how long that's going to last. You don't know how long his arm's going to hold up. So if there are teams that are willing to consider giving you what you want in return for him and then a prospect here or there in AA or wherever, and you can get a deal done, and it doesn't, you don't have to touch the rest of those guys or anybody else that really means something to you at, in Sugarland, do the deal.
Now, I don't think you're being fair to the shoulder of Jose Urquidy. Like, we don't know.
But there was two injuries to the same shoulder, they were which short, is concerning.
Sure, but they were short.
He had Tommy John previously in his career, right?
Which makes me feel better, actually.
Okay.
But the shoulder's not Tommy John. Shoulder's the UCL, so that's a different injury. Now, Jose Urquidy has not – there were short stints on the IL, and he has not shown any signs of that this year. He's not been on the IL. Right. He's been completely healthy. I also think that every pitcher's arm – I operate under this assumption, and maybe I'm wrong. I also operate under the assumption that every pitcher's arm is a ticking time bomb. Like, if it's somebody that's had injury history, if it's somebody that's not had injury history.
That's
I think
fair.
That they're all ticking time bombs. Now, I won't even push back that Jose Urquidy isn't the worst pitcher of those three. Like, I am mesmerized by Christian Javier's ability to strike dudes out. He's one of the best in the league. He's not even the best on the Astros. He's one of the best in the league. He has swing and miss. You know that I love swing and miss. You love swing and miss, too. So let's eliminate Javier from the
for
conversation.
Sure.
Like, I think both of us would agree
of
that Javier...
three, that's the guy that's, to me, most untouchable.
He needs to stick around. Why I go Luis Garcia ahead of Jose Urquidy... I'm willing to admit that Luis Garcia is a slightly better pitcher than Jose Urquidy, so it's not really necessarily an argument here. I look at it more from what you're getting in return. Luis Garcia is 2 years younger. One, I also think he has one more year of club control. So now you're looking at Luis Garcia getting more back in a trade than you would for Jose Urquidy. So if it means that I take the drop off of a slightly better pitcher in Luis Garcia than Jose Urquidy, but I get that on the back end, I get a better player in return than I would for a Jose Urquidy, that's why I would sign up for the Luis Garcia aspect. Couple of things that I do like about Jose Urquidy, too, that I don't think Luis Garcia is great at. Jose Urquidy has the ability to go deep into games. Jose Urquidy has shown us he can go to the seventh. Sometimes he can go to the eighth inning. Luis Garcia does not do that as often. So I agree that Luis Garcia is a better pitcher, but because he's a better pitcher, I get more back in return. Jose Urquidy can go deeper into games. And honestly, I've loved what I've seen with Jose Urquidy since he's got rid of the cutter.
Yeah,
and I want to ride that momentum, baby.
But here's the thing why I push back on that, the whole premise of getting a better player in return. I think that they're still going to have money to play with regardless of Verlander and whatever, regardless of what happens in season right now, in the offseason. You know, Brantley's coming off the books. Free agency is going to present many opportunities for you to still do what you need to do and not give up anyone. So in order to give up any of these pitchers, and either of the two that we're speaking of or Hunter Brown, but as we relates to these two guys, they got to give me something no matter what. They got to give me something that means something to me for the next 3 years. And if it's not going to be that way, or if one guy gives you a little more than the other, beauty's in the eye of the beholder by any general manager making a deal. I think no matter who you're talking about is going to have an impact on this roster, or I'm not offering either one of those guys.
Yeah. Now, yes, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but put yourself in the shoes of a rebuilding team that's trading away a club control catcher or center fielder, and the options that you have is a 27-year-old Jose Urquidy, who's a solid pitcher, who's a good pitcher, that's 27, has 1 year less of club control than Luis Garcia, who's 2 years younger, has an extra year of club control, and probably has a little bit more upside potential than Jose Urquidy. Mm-hmm. Which of the two intrigues you the most?
Obviously, it's going to be Garcia, especially if you're a rebuilding team.
I think you get a bigger return.
And I don't think that you're going to get playoff caliber teams that are trying to make these deals. You're looking for teams in the rebuild mode that are looking for the youngest and best. I get it, but I think that, again, at the end of the day, it could be that if you push, you want to push, because, again, that's a benefit to your team, too, to have those two extra years, that younger guy that hasn't had the medicals, that guy that looks like he's the guy that could be here for quite a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hang on to him. So if I say, hey, I might give you an extra AA player, I might do something there
sweeten
so that I don't have to do something here, because I still want, for the future, my best possible rotation. And I think that if I had to choose between the two, Garcia is better long-term for me for the reasons that you stated, and more than Urquidy, and hasn't had those kind of bumps in the road like Urquidy did even this year. But that's just me.
See, I actually agree with your premise. It's just that what I'm getting in return, I'm using that to my advantage. What do you say, Houston? 713-780-ESPN. You have to give away one of those three at the deadline if you want to acquire a bat with club control. Important to say that. That's what Rosenthal was reporting, and I think that's what the Astros would want. 713-780-3776. Javier, Urquidy, Luis Garcia. Which of the three's got to go? I also want to push you on a proposal for a rental using one of those three. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. You have to pick one. They're involved in a trade ahead of the August 2nd deadline. Astros have been reportedly talking to teams, being very aggressive. They've been reportedly willing to part with their surplus of starting pitching on the big league level. Garcia, Javier, Urquidy have all been names that have been mentioned. Now, apparently, Click wants a player with club control beyond this season if he's giving up one of those three pitchers, which I'm all on board for. I don't want to trade any of those guys for a rental. So we've asked you, the Hive, 713-780-ESPN, who is the one of those three that you would be most willing to trade if it meant getting a bat back with club control? There's also a graphic on our Twitter, at ESPN97.5. Go participate in that. Rob says, you know dang well Luis ain't going. Don't know why I got this pick on here. Hello, Els. Because there's a three picture. There's three people: Luis, Urquidy, Javier. And
how
Rob
do we
says,
know
no
damn
way.
Well he wouldn't be going. You don't know what the deal is.
I mean,
every
opinion.
Deal is. I know, but every deal is different. You can't say that there's no way he could go. If someone comes and makes you an offer, you can't refuse. But that's one of the stumbling blocks that you've got to get over in order to make the deal. You make the damn deal.
I just like the.
The verbiage?
I just like the words. Yeah, I like the way he phrased it. I thought that was hilarious. Ocho says he wants it to be Christian Javier. Ocho hates pitchers that strike out a lot of dudes.
He hates freaking Javier.
Yeah, he's not a big Javier guy. I've noticed that about Ocho. Doesn't really love Javier. Didn't love Urquidy there for a while, but then Urquidy learned how to pitch, and he started to like Urquidy a little bit. Now
maybe Javier can do something to sway him, too.
Maybe. I mean, maybe pick
like
up a big...
Be versatile, like have...
I don't like two, that about Javier.
Two different really good pitches that... Give you well? Why? Because it gives you.
Well, you know. I mean, it's great that he's able to do it. I just don't want him as a reliever.
I'm with you on that, but I'm saying the fact that he can do what Jake Odorizzi refuses to do, and starters have a hard time doing, is just an extra added benefit to why the guy has value. And when you look at his strikeout rates, and you look at the things that he does with both of his first two pitches, as opposed to other guys, not just having one strikeout type pitch, but having two of them. And the way that from guys you hear and talk and that people talk to that analyze pitchers to the numbers themselves, he's right there with the best in the game with his ability to strike guys out and get outs. I don't know why you want to move that guy, Och.
I try not to get too baseball nerd stat because I know that it's not riveting radio. One of the baseball numbers I do like though is FIP. Fielding independent pitching, which is basically like an ERA when you take out the defense behind them. It tries to make it like more universal. And if you look at that, and I won't dive into the numbers here, but Jose Urquidy and Luis Garcia, of this rotation, not counting Jake Odorizzi here, actually Jake Odorizzi is a better FIP than they do. But Urquidy and Garcia don't have great FIPs. So what that's telling you is that they play a lot to what is a good defense behind them, whereas the other pitchers that the Astros have would be good with any defense behind them. So something to consider, and maybe why James Click, who had literally invented a defensive metric when he worked at Baseball Perspectives, he likes to look at the computer numbers, why he might be willing at a Jose Urquidy, Luis Garcia, because some of the advanced numbers say that maybe they aren't as good as a Christian Javier, a Framber Valdez, a Justin Verlander. 713-780-3776. Now, we both said that we wouldn't trade one of those three guys for a rental.
Right.
I'm going to challenge you to try to make you change your mind because right. I'm on the fence on this one. MLB.com put together 7 proposed trades for the Astros to make ahead of the August 2nd deadline.
You're on you're on the fence for this potential trade?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this potential trade. Because it features my top target that I want the Houston Astros to acquire ahead of August 2nd, which, of course, is Josh Bell, the switch hitter from Texas that's hitting 300 and getting on base a ton, which I'd love to have him hitting either ahead of Yordan or behind Yordan. I don't even care. But this one suggests that the Astros acquire Josh Bell from the Nats for Jose Urquidy, Peter Solomon, who we've seen a little bit of. He's pitched a little bit for the Astros. He's their number 6 prospect. And then some guy named Wyler Abreu, the number 29 prospect. Just a little sweetener in the mix.
The name of Abreu means he's got to go.
He's an outfielder. He's not even a pitcher. So really, like it's Jose Urquidy, 2 sweeteners for Josh Bell.
Well, you got to consider it.
It's a rental.
I would hope that there's some side discussions with the agent and Josh Bell to see what the possibilities, at least the percentages, would be of him coming back.
See, I don't know if you can do that ahead of August 2nd, though. Like, there's so many wheels in motion that I don't think that you can – like, there's other teams that are interested in Bell and all of that stuff. Like, he's not getting any sort of deal done before the trade deadline.
It just seems to me like I mean, my gut feeling when I heard it the first time was, yeah, I'd do that deal.
You would do it?
I would.
Would you do it, Houston? 713-780-ESPN. Would you trade Jose Urquidy, who's under club control for the next few years, who's been very solid for the Houston Astros, two sweeteners for the rental, and Josh Bell? That's interesting you said yes.
Yeah, because I've said this before, and I really go back to thinking about it more now as we're getting into these deep dives on trades. It is so vitally important for this franchise to win another one and to capitalize on this window while it's still open. And from a local perspective, all the way to just the how it would reverb all the way through the Nationals, and all the national reporters and the outlets and everybody else would have to just shut their damn mouths and suck it up and take it. The fact that this is a damn good baseball team, and realize it's been a damn good baseball team all the way back leading into 17 and all the way since then. And I believe that nothing short, because we've seen it, you've gotten there, you've gotten on the doorstep, but you haven't been able to knock it down by winning it all. You've just been in the World Series. You get one more, and I really think a lot of the narrative changes, and it stifles a lot of the talk. I just think that's why I think that he could be that guy.
Klick's talked a lot about this deadline, and he's been brutally honest at times with several different people. He talked to Julia Morales on AT&T Sportsnet. They talked about how they're going to be aggressive. He told Randy over at Channel
McElroy,
2
yep.
that he's been told by his boss, Jim Crane, to go do something.
Do what you need to do to make sure this team gets what they need.
Now, he's also said that the goal of this organization is sustained success. So that's why whenever you see a Ken Rosenthal piece today, where like the Astros, they'll trade from their surplus to starting pitching, but they need club control back. So it's like part of the brain is telling James Klick as well that, okay, we need to be good always. We need to be good in the future. We can't just, you know, throw every surplus of starting pitching we have for rentals. We can't throw Urquidy for Josh Bell and Hunter Brown for Wilson Contreras, and now they're gone at the end of the season and you have nothing left in the tank beyond that. So he has shown that he's going to also have the mindset of sustained success. I think he proved it last year at the deadline, too, whenever he traded Miles Straw because he wanted Jake Myers to play, got club control back in Phil Maton, got a prospect in Yiner Diaz, and then even the Seattle trade, he got back Rafael Montero, who had club control as well. So, like, I think that the Astros will be in the rental business. I think they'll kick the tires on Bell. They'll kick the tires on Contreras. They've been rumored to do that. I don't think it's going to be a significant name for those guys. Like, Benintendi got traded yesterday to the Yankees.
Three prospects.
No one really they're probably good players. And, like, there's a website that measures trades and players' value. And it was a fair trade. But that's three sweeteners. That's not a Hunter Brown, top 100 prospect. It's not Urquidy, Garcia, Javier, who are big league players and doing well at the big leagues. I think you can get a Bell and Contreras for like three second-tier prospects. Now, if the Astros do trade one of the names we're talking about, Javier, Garcia, Urquidy, Hunter Brown, it's going to be a player for club control.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I think that the one thing that I think people need to kind of factor into all this, too, is because of the surplus of starting pitching you have, and because by our estimations, and I think a lot of estimations, some way, somehow, Hunter Brown's going to be in the rotation next year. If Hunter Brown's in the rotation next year, then Urquidy's expendable. But you're right. What you get back for him should be significant enough. It doesn't have to be a monumental, you know, max-type player or a big-time player's name recognition-wise, but it should be a guy that you're going to have around for more than just 3 months. Otherwise, it's not worth doing it because there's another deal to be had in the offseason where he probably has more value and he gets you more of what you need to get back in return.
The three players that Rosenthal mentioned in his athletic piece, players with club control, it seemed like it was more him, like his opinion, than like reporting that these were the names the Astros were kicking around on. One was Sean Murphy, the catcher for the A's, who club control, gold glove last year, pretty decent bat.
Good bat, yeah.
An upgrade, quite a bit of an upgrade with the bat over Maldonado. I didn't really consider him as a name because I didn't think the Astros were willing to move on from Martin Maldonado or upgrade at that position. One of the others was Cedric Mullins, the center fielder for the Orioles, although I wonder how willing Baltimore would be to trade Cedric Mullins, who's also in club control for like the next 3 years, when all of a sudden they're ahead of their rebuild and contending for a wild card spot. And then the third was Brian Reynolds, the Pirates center fielder, who I like. I think he's more of a left fielder really now, but you can play him in center field for the rest of this season, upgrade over
and
Jake Myers.
And then Brantley leaves and exactly. You got him in left field.
Yeah. Not a very good defensive center fielder, but you can get by with him, and then you flip him next year to left field. Because I'm not ready to quit on Jake Myers.
Well, let's be honest. James Click's not ready to
no.
He said in some of those interviews you're talking about mm-hmm. that Jake Myers is part of their long-term future.
Now, it can be both, though, right? Okay, Jake Myers this year, it's hard for him. You're coming off a torn labrum. You're being put on a team that's one of the best teams in baseball, and they're telling you to fly out of the gates at a snap of a finger. Like, it's a challenging position. Now, he's getting, he's getting beat pretty good on some of these at-bats. He's striking out a ton. Jake Myers can be your long-term center fielder while you still trade for a center fielder this year. Mm-hmm. And I think Brian Reynolds is the name. Brian Reynolds is the center
that
fielder.
That would be hard for him to accept, but it shouldn't be hard for anybody else to
Myers?
Accept. Because he's not out of your long-term plans. It's just the reality of the fact that if you're not ready for prime time the way and have the expectations the organization has for what the center field needs to do this year, then you need just to be happy to be a part of the team and don't Jake Odorizzi. Yep. You'll be fine next season.
Trade for Reynolds. He's your center fielder the rest of the year. Move him to left field next year. Jake Myers, here's your center field job opening day 2023.
See that catch Myers made yesterday?
It was a good catch.
Yeah, did you see what he did after he made the catch? He just got up, went back to play his position. He didn't feel his shoulder and feel like the other shoulder went out and feel like something went wrong because he dropped it.
He's not been a very good offensive player this year, but his defense is really good. His defense is really good. The metrics would tell you his defense is really good.
That's when he's got 100% confidence.
No,
this you get him near the warning track in the wall, and he's still got a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, I need to see him be a little bit more aggressive, but that doesn't happen a lot. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Would you trade one of those three? Who would be one of those three? Urquidy, Javier, or Garcia? Who would it be for you? And would you trade that dude for a rental? Also, we got to get into this Jake Odorizzi stuff with our very good friend, Patrick Crane. He won't be joining us, of course, but some things he had to say and his thoughts on Odorizzi. All of that, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Get know when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're talking about the one starting pitcher that if you had to trade, you would. For somebody under club control, not a rental. Urquidy, Javier, and Luis. 0672 said Bill O'Brien would trade them all for an 18th round pick. Can't trade draft picks in baseball, but I understand. I understand.
What is the baseball equivalent of David Johnson at 30 or
Jake
27
Odorizzi?
Or whatever it was? No.
I'm dead serious.
No.
What do you mean no? I'm dead serious. Somebody that's on an inflated contract that stinks. That is Jake Odorizzi.
Albert Pujols.
They just got rid of David Johnson. It needs to be someone on an inflated contract for another several years.
Yeah, I think Johnson's contract was two, right? He played two. Was it two or 3 years with the Houston
Texans?
I think it was two.
What about
what's
his name? The third baseman for the Giants now. That was the
Evan Longoria.
Yeah, Longoria.
Eva Longoria.
Yeah,
I used to love him with Tampa Bay.
With Tampa Bay, he was hell with a bat. He was unbelievable.
David Johnson was a 2 year Houston Texan.
Man, that was a long 2 years.
There is a decent chance that Jake Odorizzi at $12.5 million will be with the Astros next year for his third year.
At least he plays a more valuable position. David Johnson was an overpriced player at a bad position who wasn't even good at that position anymore.
Okay, yeah. Now, Jake Odorizzi plays a valuable position in his negative war as a starting pitcher. So, yeah, the position's more valuable, but you're getting less out of him.
It would be like Jake Odorizzi as a relief pitcher.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's probably a fair comp. So now you're looking at like an overpriced relief pitcher. So you think relief pitchers are the equivalent of running backs in the NFL?
No, I don't think there is an equivalent. It's the closest I could come up with.
Speaking of Jake Odorizzi, apparently Creighton was taking shots at everybody who's taken shots at Jake Odorizzi. I don't know exactly what was said, but Creighton went on a long Twitter tangent today.
That never happens.
What is that, a long Twitter tangent?
He does it all the time.
But apparently, I guess he went on a rant
today,
yesterday too, on the air on late hits, and then I guess the bench went counterpoints against him, and Granato was talking to him on Twitter and all this stuff. But Creighton had a long Twitter thread today on Jake Odorizzi, and I'll spare you all the details. Basically, he was saying that, look, Jake Odorizzi is a number five starter. He's average for a number five starter. I don't understand the criticism. He's never going to play a pitch in a playoff inning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People are thinking short term with Odorizzi and not long term, which, okay. Like, Jake Odorizzi's value to the 2022 Houston Astros, I think Creighton was accurate with. His value is to be the sixth starter of a six-man rotation, eat some innings, and save the arms of Framber Valdez and Justin Verlander and maybe Lance McCullers when he comes back. So I agree with Creighton, you know, when it comes to that. Odorizzi this season, the numbers, they aren't very good. Last year he was fine, I guess, for being a number five starting pitcher. But the problem that I had with what Creighton had to say about this, and I even discussed this with Creighton on Twitter, was the fact that he said that thinking in the bigger picture, let me find the exact words he says here, many people think that Odorizzi sucked last year. Those numbers are wrong. Why are they wrong? Because numbers, blah, 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 blah. Odorizzi was a number five starter in 2021. Like, I get all of that. Like, whatever. Like, we've agreed to that. The problem that I had was whenever he said people aren't thinking big picture when it comes to Jake Odorizzi. That, I don't know if he was referring to us. I don't know who he was talking to.
I won't say had it out with him. I've had a legit discussion with him in the last three or four days where I laid out all the reasons why I felt the way I did about Odorizzi. And I said, and you know this, where it all starts with me too is being a team player, which he has shown the exact opposite feeling to do. It's been all about him all the time. When he isn't, as Pat spelled out for you, mm-hmm. he isn't good enough to be considered in that vein. So we had a discussion about it, and I thought it was a good one. I didn't see all this coming, and I don't know what the bench said.
Yeah, I don't know who he's referring to, so I don't even know if he's talking to us. But he says that the take that I like, the part, one of the tweets with the long thread here, he says, even though his job, he being Odorizzi, is to eat innings, you still want him to be successful. Many people in local media would rather overreact to an individual game instead of look at the larger picture. To which I responded, to me, it's the larger picture that we've been looking at when it relates to Jake Odorizzi. Jake Odorizzi's making a significant contract this season, but whatever. Like, it's 2022. You already have him on your team in 2022, so you're going to owe him that money anyways. I would even pay off the rest of this year's contract if it meant that I could trade Jake Odorizzi. I would pay the other team the rest of Jake Odorizzi's contract to take on Jake Odorizzi this season. Where we look larger picture, the Killer Bees do, is that Jake Odorizzi has a player option, not a team option, a player option. So you have no fate in this. You have no determination in the fate of Jake Odorizzi being on your team next year or not. It is a minimum of $6.5 million that can be upwards of $12.5 million next year. There's also the average annual value, which works against the luxury tax of $8.5 million. So if we're operating like the Astros operate, that they use the competitive balance tax as their salary cap and they operate up into it, $8.5 million for an inning eater, number five starter at best, when he's probably actually your number seven starter next season.
You don't need him.
That's going to make anywhere between $6.5 to $12.5 million. That is larger picture, and that's reason that you're looking to trade Jake Odorizzi ahead of August 2nd.
Like we've said, for a bowl of soup, it doesn't even have to be heated up. It could be old, spoiled fish soup. Just get rid of him because of the ramifications of next year, because of the future, because of the fact that you have a surplus of starting pitching that can replace them in a heartbeat, and you wouldn't blink an eye and lose any sleep over whatever happens with Jake Odorizzi. But the other thing that I keep going back to is, aside from his interviews with Berman, aside from the many times that he's shown he doesn't want to do what's in the best interest of the team so they can do what they need to do to win a title, he needs to be about him. I won't go to the bullpen. He needs to be about him. I need to pitch as soon as I'm healthy. He needs to be about him, where he needs to get the starts that he needs to get, and he needs to get the attention that he needs to get. Well, guess what? This isn't about you, Jake Odorizzi. This is about the team. So the same way I say all that, I say the fact that if this was a guy like Luis Garcia that's always happy to be there, that does whatever the team asks him to do, no matter what they ask him to do, that this would be a lot easier to digest and think about, well, what can we do for Jake too? What can we do to make this a win-win? There's so many things that he has already done to lay the groundwork for everybody wanting to just wash their hands of this dude. And like I said, addition by subtraction, you're not good enough to have the attitude that you have about your abilities and how you should be used.
See, King of Twitch here saying that $12.5 million ain't whatever. Admirable, whatever. $8.5 million is less than 4%. That is a bit of a ridiculous argument. Let me ask you this, Admiral, and the rest of the city. would you rather have $8.5 million being spent on Jake Odorizzi, or would you rather have $8.5 million to go acquire the best relief pitcher that you can acquire in free agency? Would you rather have $8.5 million counting against Jake Odorizzi, or would you rather have $8.5 million in your pocket to try to re-sign either Josh Bell or Trey Mancini, who you're trading for potentially ahead of the August 2nd deadline, knowing you need a first baseman of the future because Yuli Gurriel's contract is up at the end of the year? Would you rather have $8.5 million costing you because you're going to have that going towards Jake Odorizzi, or would you rather have that $8.5 million to aggressively attack a hole in left field because Michael Brantley's contract is over? The Astros are going to spend up to the competitive balance tax next during the offseason and going into next year. So I want as much savings as I can possibly have to aggressively attack positions of weakness, which are catcher, first base, left field, maybe a reliever. Starting pitcher ain't it. We're talking about trading a club control starter in Garcia, Urquidy, Javier, because there's a surplus of starting pitching, yet you want to get $8.5 million to a surplus of starters when you can spend that money elsewhere? We just laid out five starters next year, even if Justin Verlander's not on this team. If Justin Verlander's not on this team, five starters next year: Lance McCullers Jr., Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Framber Valdez, Jose Urquidy, Hunter Brown. That's six. I haven't even gotten to Jake Odorizzi. Jake Odorizzi right now, and maybe there's a trade, but Jake Odorizzi at best, even if there is a trade, is your number six starter. What innings is Jake Odorizzi eating as your number six, number seven starter for $8.5 million? You spend that in the bullpen. You spend that with your batting order.
Yeah, look, it's the same way. And like I said, I at least thankfully have had a conversation with Pat about this. Because I don't want to get singled out unless I know specifically he's singling me out. But I do think that he's gone a little bit overboard in the fact that, like I said, I've pointed to all the points that I go to in terms of what I'm expecting out of a guy with his abilities at his age with a team that's as good as this is. But as it relates to the future, you've got plenty of guys like Seth Martinez eats innings, for God's sake. I mean, Christian Javier, depending on how the rotation plans out, we know not only eats innings, but eats innings effectively and eats till he's damn full like Joey Chestnut. I mean, you look at the way that this team is set up for the future and the plans that they have, he's not in them. We're all hoping, for just financial reasons alone, that he goes somewhere else that doesn't pick up that option. But when you also parlay it with everything that I said about how he's handled everything, it gives you more and more of the desire to get rid of him, regardless of what he could do or can do, innings he can eat, and the things that he's been able to do in his career. So the fact that you have all these starting pitchers to choose from and the rest of them don't have the same kind of mentality and probably all have better ability, it's simple to me.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, right now, before any sort of trade, and even before you bring back Justin Verlander, Odorizzi's your number seven starter under club control for next season. Probably bringing back Verlander on top of that. $8.5 million for your number seven starting pitcher. Is his value eating innings? Sure, cool. That's his value. I'm not spending $8.5 million, average annual value, on a dude that's going to eat innings at my number seven, number eight starting pitcher. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's challenge one of the wheelhousemen next. They have to pick one, only one, but it must be one. Javier, Urquidy, or Garcia, which one's got to go if it means getting a club control bat ahead of the August 2nd deadline? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, I want to tell you a little bit about Fitz Roofing. Look, we know that right now it's just about the heat, but soon enough it's going to be hurricane season. Soon enough that bad weather is going to start coming around, and your roof has to be ready. That means don't wait until the damage is already done and your drywall is ruined and lots of the contents of your house gets damaged. No, do it now while you can, while everything is ready and sitting right there for you, by going to Fitz Roofing. Go to FITZroofing.com and see all the ways they can help. But the main way I'm telling you why you should do it now is because they do free, no obligation inspections right away. You call them, 832-521-3001. They come to you and tell you what you may need and what you should do. You don't have to do it. They'll go on with their next job. But if you want them to do what they feel like is necessary, and they are the best in the business and know what they're talking about, and make sure your roof is ready before the storms hit and before hurricane season is upon us, get talking to Fitz. The best part about it is most people charge you a service charge just to show up at your door and then try and rope you in by saying, well, we'll rope that into the overall price if you have us do the work. No, go to Fitz, where it costs you nothing to get their expert opinion. And if they tell you there's something that needs to be done and you want them to do it, which you should, you go to them and they basically start from zero with just getting the parts and the stuff that you need and then making sure that they do and the install and fix things better than anybody else. That's why you'd go to FITZRoofing.com. That's why you get that free no obligation inspection and see if you can get primed up and ready for hurricane season right now when you still have time. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's pouring suddenly. BK shows up and the rain starts falling.
Raining,
thunder, lightning.
BK, are you snoring?
No. You guys have had a good show today, so I'm not snoring. Y'all are doing a good job.
I've been told that I snore, and it can be an issue, but I was unaware. And as long as I'm unaware with it, I'll just keep on sleeping.
Yeah, oh, you don't hear your self snore, right?
Right.
So you're good.
Well, sometimes you wake up, and you're in the middle of the...
Do you have sleep sleep apnea?
No, I don't have any of that.
Do you know?
I know that I don't have a problem sleeping.
Yeah, but I don't think that's...
Sleep apnea is... Isn't it like...
Yeah, you're waking up because you're snoring, and you can't catch your breath. But how would you know?
Like, if I'm sleeping on the couch... And I wake up all of a sudden in kind of an awkward position. You can hear the last bit of your little snore. I don't hear that in bed.
Have you been checked? Have you been looked at by this?
What was Dr. Brandon?
I'm just saying, sometimes you're a little grumpy in the mornings. Maybe you're not getting enough sleep at night.
All of a sudden, I'm working with Dr. Turnenkoff over here. He's trying to tell me what I need to do about my apnea.
I don't know how you made that conclusion.
Well, I mean, it's just you're worried about me. Have I been checked? I'm like, I'm good.
Have you been checked for sleep apnea? It's just a question. I don't know why you suddenly think I'm caressing things. That's
weird. Deshaun, can we just get to BK?
You're the one who said it, not me.
Don't be caressing me either. I'm good.
Yeah, what a weird thing to say. Yeah. What a bizarre thing to say. Anyways, the Astros trade deadline coming up. Ken Rosenthal reported today Astros could use one of their surplus of starting pitching because there is a surplus of starting pitching on this team. Young, club-controlled as well. Now, we asked the question. Now, club-controlled bat is probably what the Astros are looking for if they're trading one of these three, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy. You can pick one. Now, keep the trade return in mind. Which of those three are you getting rid of ahead of the August 2nd trade deadline?
So I went back and forth on this, and I missed y'all talking about this earlier in the show. So I don't know y'all's answers, and maybe I'm about to say something that one or both of you guys already said. I'm trading Luis Garcia.
Wow. You are on Team Branham.
Yeah. I assume our reasons
are the
reasons
why.
Postseason ERA is my reason.
Oh, no.
Why.
His reason was you get more in return for a younger, more under team control guy.
He is younger. So Urquidy's the oldest of the bunch. Like, reason to believe he has the lowest ceiling at this point. But I went to Baseball Reference today, and God, I just couldn't get the Solaire blast out of my head. And I'm like, okay, how's Garcia been in the postseason versus how Urquidy has been in the postseason? Garcia's playoff ERA is over 7. Urquidy's is 4.05. Urquidy's been a better playoff pitcher. I think this is a team that's obviously making the playoffs this year. I expect him to make the postseason the next couple of years as well. I trust Urquidy more in October to go out and give this team quality innings, which means I'd rather keep him than the lunch lady.
Wow.
As much as I love the lunch lady and Sloppy Joes.
Sloppy Joes are underrated.
What was your reason, Jeremy?
My reason was that you're going to get back more for Luis Garcia than you will Urquidy. Garcia, I think he's got one more year of club control. He's also 2 years younger. So if you're a team that's selling, if you're Oakland, you're Washington, you're Kansas City, Pittsburgh, whatever, you're going to want the 25-year-old more than you're going to want the 27-year-old. In fact, if I'm one of those teams, I'm not even sure I want the 25-year-old because are you competing in 4 years before Luis Garcia is a free agent? Probably not. But if I had to pick one of them, I'm going Garcia. I think he gives you back more return because he's going to be more attractive on the trade market. From an Urquidy perspective, like I won't even say Urquidy's necessarily better than Luis Garcia. I would even, you know, surrender that maybe he's not. But a couple things I do appreciate about Urquidy that I don't know if Luis Garcia necessarily possesses. Urquidy can take you deep into games. He can go 7-8 innings, which might matter more in the regular season than in the postseason. Like he can save a bullpen. That sort of stuff matters more in the regular season than it does in the bullpen. I'm also very intrigued with what Jose Urquidy has done since ditching the cutter. Like he's got like a sub 2.5 ERA where his stock arrow is pointing up in his 2022 season. Luis Garcia, I don't want to say it's pointing down, but it's kind of leveled off.
No, I look, and I said the opposite. I said Urquidy because I didn't think he had much value last season. I don't, because of the two shoulders issues. I don't think that coming into the season the way he started, he had much value. And I compared it to Jake Odorizzi only with a younger team-controlled player that suddenly if he gets back on the map and he's on people's radar and people want him and like him and you don't have to give up more than him and a couple of double A's and you get what you might have to give up, what you might have to lose more by giving up either Garcia or Javier or someone else, mm-hmm. then it's a win for the franchise because you still have enough starters. You cover up for whatever you lose in him. He's got more value because you never thought he was going to be one of the names a team might be interested in to throw into a deal, and yet you're still going to be a better team coming out of whatever trade you make. That's why I would lean that direction.
Yeah, that all makes sense.
And the double shoulder, I know it's behind us a year and he hasn't had any this year. It still worries me. He's had a lot of medicals with his arm and his shoulder and stuff,
sure.
And I just don't like that.
That's fair. That's very fair. Christian Javier was a distant third for me, by
me
the way.
Me too.
Like we
took him off the list.
Yeah, when I said I was going back and forth, it was between Garcia and Urquidy. Javier, the stuff is just too good. The potential's too good. I'm excited for the future of that guy as a stalwart in this rotation for years to come.
We were saying we think he could be a potential all-star at some point. Now, he's got some issues that he's got to be better at in terms of consistency. We've seen a high-end potential Christian Javier this season. We saw that against
Fromber,
the Yankees.
Until Fromber figured some stuff out, but we knew that his stuff was never the issue.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, with like Fromber, he went the other way. Like we're enamored with Christian Javier's swing and miss, which Fromber had that once upon a time. But what made Fromber and made him an all-star, made him the pitcher that he is now, is that he gave up a little bit of the swing and miss for command.
His stuff
is so good, Fromber's is, that him pitching to contact, you're not getting a lot of hard contact. It's kind of Dallas Keuchel-y, but with elite stuff. Javier, I don't know if he can be that guy, because Javier's more like invisible. Like it's fastball. It looks like it's riding up on you versus Fromber, who's got a lot of downward action to force those ground balls. But I love the swing and miss for Javier. Luis Garcia, I like Luis Garcia. I think he's a good pitcher. I'll be sad if the Astros trade him. And I'm not even saying he's a better pitcher, again, than Jose Urquidy. I just think you can fetch more in return. And, like, is he one of your four best starters? Luis Garcia, probably not. So what are you really losing from, like, an innings usage perspective in the playoffs?
A lot of that weighs on Lance McCullers, I think.
Sure.
And the fact that you want to put Javier in the bullpen.
I think this report actually is, like, kind of tells you a little bit what the Astros are feeling about Lance McCullers. If you're willing to trade one of those three starting pitchers, what does that tell you about the Astros' feelings towards Lance McCullers? Like, we might not have a whole lot of faith in, you know, a glass arm Lance McCullers, whose UCL seems to be very fragile. Like, we might not believe that. But I think if the Astros are throwing all of those names out there, I think that's a pretty good tell that the Astros feel pretty good about Lance McCullers' recovery.
Yeah, I do too. Now, I'm basing this off of your Twitter, Jeremy. I didn't get to listen to y'all a lot today. I've had a rough day.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, I'm getting old, boys.
What happened?
Okay.
When you get to my age, you can't do things that you used to be able to do.
You were dealing with your own case of invisibles?
Yeah, well, not quite that.
Okay. Not sure what that means.
I've been dealing with that for way too long.
See, there you go.
That's been a lifetime problem for me. Yeah. But, okay, based on your Twitter, Jeremy, I saw you had a tweet either today or last night. You would not be willing to trade one of the Astros' controllable starting pitchers for a rental player.
No.
I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Your thought is very rational, but, like, if you have to trade one of those guys to get Josh Bell, I'm not doing it for anybody, but if you have to trade one of those guys to get you Josh Bell because the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets are going to offer somebody like that, I'm doing it. I'm risking the future.
Yeah, I told him today that's where I did change my mind. If it's a guy that's that impactful, that still has Texas roots enough that you might be able to do something with him afterwards.
Yes.
Too, and you have money to spend. But, yeah, the fact that whoever you give up in that scenario is replaceable because of the surplus of starting pitching makes me more open to considering it.
Now, if you're using one of these three to go for a rental, I draw the line there. Mm-hmm. And like the MLB.com proposal that they had was Josh Bell to the Astros for Jose Urquidy, two sweeteners. If you're telling me that the Astros are making a trade for a Josh Bell, Trey Mancini type, Wilson Contreras type, that the contract's done. He's a rental player. You get him for the next 3 months postseason. If you're telling me, gun to my head, you have to make that trade, which starter are you doing? That's where I flip to Jose Urquidy.
Okay.
That's where I flip to Urquidy and not Luis Garcia. If it's one of those on a rental, I'll send Jose Urquidy. If it's a club control player, because I think it affects the return, then it's Luis Garcia.
Yeah, the first hope is you don't have to give up any of those guys. And then the second hope, like you said, Joel, is you can re-sign Josh Bell. Texas guy, there's reason to believe that he would want to stay here. Hopefully Jim Crane would be willing to open up the pocketbooks a little bit and make something like that happen.
I think it's – which one do you like the most? Which rental bat do you like the most?
Josh Bell.
I like that the fact that he's a switch hitter. Like, the fact that he's a switch hitter, hits over 300 on base, near 390. Like, that's sexy to me. And you can put him anywhere. You can put him ahead of Yordan. You can put him behind Yordan.
The alternative to me is Mancini would have a field day at Minute Maid, sure, and he can play multiple positions. So if Yuli's struggling, Brantley doesn't come back, you've got a plug-and-play guy that's better than what you have on your roster currently. Better hitter. Maybe not a better fielder, but I don't think you're losing a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that he gives you a real true professional major league hitter.
I would not complain if either of those guys were Astros next week.
What do you think the chances are of two of them being Astros next week?
Slim. I don't think it would be those two guys. I think it would be Contreras, one of those two guys, and then Contreras, okay, or a center fielder.
I don't think they're interested in Contreras at all, because Maldi is this team's starting, yeah, catcher in the playoffs. And people have
but
said,
he said you can play multiple positions.
He hasn't done it in a while.
Yeah, he's got one appearance in left field in the last three seasons.
He's played more right field than left field.
Yeah, but his outfield numbers are all pretty small. And Tucker, I think you're happy with him in right. So I just, like, I love Contreras. I wouldn't complain. They'd make it work. I don't think the Astros would go after him because
I think
they
relief
love
pitching is still a factor for them. I think they're going to get a relief pitcher, and I think they're going
to
get a bat.
What's weird to me, though, is, like, okay, Pass is reporting that the Astros kicking the tires on Contreras, and then Rosenthal said the Astros could be looking for a club-controlled catcher. So reports are the Astros are kicking the tires on catchers. I don't know if I believe it either. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse?
We'll talk about this. We'll talk about why I'm having such a bad day.
I can't wait.
I want to hear that.
Jimbo Fisher's recruiting pitch.
You're having a bad day because you thought Pat Creighton was talking to you?
No. He likes me. Right. We're good with PC.
That doesn't matter.
John, I'm a little worried about. All right. I don't know what he thinks about me. But, yeah, Texans training camp tomorrow, so we'll set the stage for that, too.
Very good. Make sure you keep it here. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.